Can you briefly, in layman's terms, just sum up the McLeod remedy?
Okay, so in a nutshell, they introduced a new pension scheme, but said older members got to stay in the old scheme and younger members had to move to the new scheme. That was deemed to be discriminatory. And so to fix this, the McLeod remedy has a few different parts. The first one was the scrapping, the abolition of that transitional protection, the bit that said you could stay in your old scheme. So instead, from April 2022, all new membership is in the 2015 scheme for everybody. You get a final salary link if you're in the officer section, so if you're a consultant. So your pension will benefit from increases in your pensionable pay. If you're a GP, you will still benefit from that dynamisation, that CPI plus 1.5% on your previous total earnings. So that will still continue. We've now started to see part two of the McLeod remedy being implemented. The first bit is the rollback. So the rollback occurred on the 1st of October last year, whereby all of the benefits that you built up during those 7 years have now been moved back to the legacy scheme from which you came. Now, there's no choice in that. That's just happened. The choice you do get is when you get to taking your pension benefits, and you will then decide, do I want to leave those 7 years in the legacy scheme where they've been rolled back to, or do I want to move them into the 2015 scheme, the reform scheme? Now, because of the rollback, there are some consequences, because there are, for example, things in the newer schemes that aren't in the older schemes. So if you bought early retirement reduction buyout, which is this mechanism where you can access your 2015 scheme earlier without any penalties, that doesn't exist in the old schemes. So you can either have your money back, convert it into added pension, or you can wait and see. Now, most people will have just seen these letters drop on their door, actually. So in those situations, if you do need to reassess that decision, it's worth speaking to your financial advisor or whoever in order to sort of come to terms with what you need to do. But the big change in all of this is retrospective taxation, because as you've been in a different pension scheme for 7 years, you now need to revisit the pension growth for each of those 7 years because it's going to be different. And you can make it even more different because there's this other thing called contingent decisions, whereby you can retrospectively buy some or all of the missed service if you opted out between October 2014 and April 2022. So there's differences in service, there's differences in taxation. There's a lot to get done.
Mm-hmm. I was at a conference not too long ago, and one of the speakers went through the number of scenarios that one person could have. It was something like maximum 152 different scenarios, depending on whether you choose X date, Y scheme. And it was a complete minefield. So as you said, Graham, for anybody who is unsure of what to do, you do need to take financial advice about this. And we'll come on shortly to what potentially there is out there to support you, because obviously this is something that's being put in place outside of everybody's control. And it's not something that an individual really is going to be able to know about. I mean, you know, for everyone we act for, we calculate and prepare. We just ask people to sign their annual allowance certificates. You know, we don't expect individuals to be able to calculate those numbers themselves. The same way an individual is not going to be able to understand the nuances of financial advice. So yes, it's a big exercise, shall we say, to be overtaken. So what will members actually need to do for this rollback reassessment?
Okay, so the general principles on this are that if you have a decreased tax liability because you've now gone back to the legacy scheme, then even though ordinarily you can only claim back for 4 years, you will be able to reassess for all of those years and you'll be able to get money back in those situations. So if it's decreased, you get your money back no matter when. If you have an increased tax liability, then you only have to worry about the last 4 years. So we now have this in-scope, out-of-scope years. So in-scope is 2019-20 onwards. Out of scope is prior to that, so 2015-16 to 2018-19. So what you actually then individually need to do depends on whether you're retired or not, and also which scheme you're in. So for example, if you're in the 2015 scheme before April 2022, but you've not taken your pension benefits by the 1st of October, so that's a lot of people, mm-hmm. then your annual allowance for those years will be based on being in the legacy scheme for those 7 years. Now, if you were in the 2015 scheme before April 2022 and you took your benefits by the 1st of October 2023, then you're going to get an immediate choice. Immediate, a really loose word. I think it's going to take them ages before you get your choice. Mm-hmm. But it's something called immediate choice. So you'll get to decide, do you want legacy or reformed? And your pension input will change if you choose the legacy benefits, because remember, at the moment, that's all been based on you being in the 2015 scheme. However, if you didn't join the 2015 scheme until April 2022, so if you were one of those sort of transitional protection members and you've not taken your benefits by the 1st of October, then there'll be no change, no reassessment needed. But if, again, if you didn't join, but you did take your pension benefits, then again, you're going to get this immediate choice and your pension input amount will only change if you choose the new scheme benefits and the pension input is actually lower than it would have been under the legacy scheme. So it's horrendously complex, Katie. Mm-hmm. Apologies on this. But what will happen is, irrespective of your situation, the scheme will recalculate your pension growth if it needs recalculating, and you will be issued with a remediable service statement by October of this year. For those who haven't got an immediate choice, for those who have got that immediate choice, they will be contacted by the scheme when the scheme are in a position to offer them that choice. So once you've got that statement, you're also then going to have to get a bunch of sort of historic tax data. So what your income was and all of those bits and pieces. You'll then have to recalculate any tapered annual allowance calculations and then process them all via this new HMRC digital service to work out your position.
So you mentioned there about getting historic tax data. So for our clients, anyone listening, we are in the process of, luckily, HMRC are allowing us to contact them directly and get sort of gleaned data. So that's really very useful. So that is being taken care of for anyone who's listening today that's our client. And if you're not a client of ours, but you have your own accountant, do make sure that they are aware that they need to get this information, because you just mentioned a deadline. Well, I say a deadline, a statement date, you know, receivable of 31st of October. I've not heard of anyone receiving any yet. Have you had anyone?
No, they had hoped to start issuing them from April. Mm. They then said later this year. They then said October. They have got a legislation deadline to issue them by the 6th of October. So they've got to be out by then. So yeah, it's a huge task. There's so many that need to be sent out. It's anywhere between sort of 60 and 100,000, we reckon, that will need to be sent out.
And so for those of you listening, I don't want the skepticalness to come across in my voice, but we are conscious. You know, we're now mid-July. No one's had one yet. Fine. That gives us another 2.5-ish months for them to issue, as you said, between 60 and 100,000 statements. Royal Mail is going to have a big job on its hands. So there's a lot to come out. And if they do miss those deadlines, it means it puts the pressure on us as accountants and financial advisors to be able to turn around the information that we need to do. So you mentioned just now this digital service. So do you want to just sort of run us through what that's going to be and how it's going to work?
Yeah, so fortunately, they launched the digital service last October, so we could all have a sort of a play around with it. If any that follow me on social media, they would realise that within about an hour or two, I was very vocal about how the maths was wrong on the digital service. And then fortunately, I was just sort of invited along with BMA to go and talk to HMRC and speak to their dev team. And we ran through sort of how it was working and how the maths was wrong and how they needed to adjust it and introduce some other changes. For example, it's offline at the moment because there was another thing that we found wrong with it. But it's coming back on in the next sort of couple of weeks. And what you'll see there is you'll have the option to sort of save your information and then carry on later on. But in a nutshell, what you need to do is you need to enter all of that text data that you've got that you mentioned before, plus all the data that you have from the NHS Pensions Agency. So you'd need to enter like the new pension growth figures. If some of the information is missing, they've also about to release this enhancement of this income sub journey so that it will work out whether or not you need to worry about annual allowance taper or not. And then also there's another enhancement coming from September where they're hoping to add in a sort of a few triage questions to see if you actually need to go through the calculator or not at all. But in a nutshell, what you do is you pull all of that information in and it will then identify which tax years you owe more for, which tax years you need refunds for, and it will send all of that information to the relevant pension schemes, because you'll also indicate within that service which pension schemes that you've used, not just the NHS, but also any private pensions that you may have as well. So if there is a decrease and you get a refund, well, if you originally paid via Scheme Pays, well, the scheme will then contact HMRC for that refund and they will just simply then adjust your pension record. Although if you did ask a private pension, because we do get some people who use private pension Scheme Pays, you will need to contact that scheme to discuss it, because I imagine they're not going to be that familiar with this process because there'll be very few and sort of far between. If there's a decrease for an in-scope year, so that's the 2019-20 year onwards, then HMRC will refund you directly, but there'll also be a little bit of interest applied to that. If it's a decrease for out-of-scope years, because remember, if your tax charge is lower in 2015-16, you could get your money back. The scheme will then actually contact you for that refund. So they'll actually give that back to you that way.
So there are at least some positives here.
There are. I must say, so far, I've been impressed with HMRC's openness mm-hmm. on this one and how willing they have been to discuss this. Again, I've been at various conferences and heard their heads talk about this issue. They've opened their doors to allow meetings with their team to sort of run through the processes, gain access to information that might not easily be accessible, mm-hmm. and taken feedback on the actual digital service itself. So that is positive. But it's still going to take a lot of time for people to actually do this work. Mm-hmm. And I know lots of pension experts that have actually tried this calculator, and it's very easy to get it wrong mm-hmm. if you don't know what you're doing. So it's one of these where it makes sense to get professional support to do this bit of the puzzle for you.
Mm. And we're aware of how much work it's going to be at RBP. We've been planning for this for years, to be honest, because as soon as we heard about it, we knew we'd have to get a plan in place, which is why we are getting increasingly anxious with the timeframe. We're just hoping these remedial statements start dropping through and that the calculator is available sooner rather than later. Because as you will know, Graham, and everyone listening, us accountants are usually quite busy in December and January. You know, it's just a busy time in the world of accountancy. And I'm not sure whether HMRC really took on board how much accountants were going to be involved. Yeah. So we're just, you know, we need to be ready to hit the ground running. And as you've just mentioned, there's a lot of work involved. And so basically, who's going to pay for it? How is this going to actually work?
Well, it is a crazy amount of work, because not only do you have this remedy period reassessment, bear in mind, you've also got to account for the 22-23 annual allowance tax year and also the 23-24 tax year. So, and also your self-assessments in general. But with regards to actually paying for the work, they have actually now launched this NHS cost claim back scheme, whereby the general overriding principle is that if you suffer a financial loss as a result of the discrimination, then you'll be able to claim. And we've already seen some successful claims under this policy. So, for example, we've just had the recent sort of Pension Choice 2 revocation exercise, where some people who moved from the 95 section to the 08 section were given the choice to undo that decision. But unfortunately, they weren't given the same amount of information that they previously had. So we had people come to us, for example, and we actually did the maths for them and charged them. And that charge was then recoverable via the NHS cost claim back scheme. So that is a positive. The Department of Health, they've acknowledged that there are going to be two key events in McLeod for most people that will incur costs, one of which is this rollback reassessment. And so what they've done is they've introduced a cap to say that you can claim up to £1,000, including VAT, for professional support to have your rollback reassessed. They said per piece of advice, which is a bit ambiguous. We know that's not going to be per tax year, so it would be for the actual rollback assessment. We do anticipate, in the same way as normal annual allowance statements, there will be errors, whether that be employer errors, NHS pensions errors, in which case statements might need to be reissued and the process may have to be undertaken again. So we think that it might cover per instance. So if you do a rollback assessment, subsequently find out it's wrong, do another one, well, you might have to charge twice for that because you're doing twice the amount of work, and the cost claim back scheme should also kick in to pay for that. The other element they've introduced a specific cap on is that they acknowledge that for some people, when they make their choice, so that's the bit when you finally retire and you decide, do I leave those benefits in the 9508 scheme or do I move them to the 2015 scheme? You might need support from a financial advisor, et cetera, if you've got a particularly complex, as they've defined, situation. I've no idea what complex means, because I think the NHS pension is complex for everybody. Mm-hmm. But for that, they've said that there'll be a cap of £500, including VAT, for support there. So we've got general principle. If you're financially disadvantaged, then they'll be covering. There's two specific caps. But if you do have any other costs as a result of this, then that window is relatively open. So let's say, for example, you paid for some specific pension analysis because you had an annual allowance tax charge in 2016-17, and you wanted to know how much could you work because of annual allowance taper, etc. If, as a result of the rollback, you no longer have a tax charge for that year, then surely you might be able to argue that that was a financial loss caused by the discrimination. You might be able to claim that money back. A lot of this we won't know until it's been tested, because they can simply say no if you apply. Mm. If they say no, you can appeal and it'll go back to another team member. They can say no, which again, you can appeal, it'll go to a manager. They can say no, which you can appeal, and then it'll go to an ombudsman. And now the pension ombudsman, it seems to take a while anyway for any cases to get through there. So it may be years before we understand the full extent of how the cost claim back scheme works. But the general principle is there, and we have so far seen very positive outcomes from NHS pensions.
Yeah. I mean, our clients have been asking us, you know, what do you think the charges will be? But again, it's difficult to know because we haven't seen yet the scope of the work.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we need to wait and see. But I mean, we're hoping that for every client that we have to do this for, that they will all be able to apply for this compensation. Because like you say, everyone's going to need this work done for them. And it would be unfair that individuals have to pay for something which is ultimately outside of their control.
Yeah, completely agree. And I think the significant benefit here is it will hopefully motivate people to use professional support rather than try it themselves. Because again, no disrespect to listeners, but the calculator is ridiculously complicated, even for those who are involved in this on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. And if you make a mistake, then you could be disadvantaged by thousands and thousands of pounds.
Agreed. I mean, I always say to people, don't try and do it yourself. Just let us take all the stress and the hassle out of it. And we have this situation very rarely when individuals try and complete their own type one certificates. And I say, please don't try. Just let us do it. It's so complicated and you will get it wrong. And those handful of individuals that are insistent on doing it, I look at them or we look at them and think, no, they're completely wrong. So please, please, please allow the accountants and the financial advisors to give you the advice you need, because that is why we are here. And hopefully the compensation scheme will mean that it shouldn't cost you anything should you need to take that expert advice anyway. So all of the stuff we've covered, we need to really just get into if there's any deadlines for this work to be done.
So yeah, there's quite a number of different deadlines that are going to be applicable. But if we start off with some of the standard ones. So if, for example, you're one of those who are going to have to do this rollback reassessment, then you've got until the 31st of January 2025 in order to process this, which is horrendously short. If, for example, you are one of these immediate choice people, then there's a slight extension to that. So it's the 31st of January 2027 to go through this HMRC digital service. Now, there will be some people who will get their statements late. For example, I reckon there's going to be quite a bunch of GPs who won't have had their records updated in time. We'll find cases where there are errors. In those situations, you will have 3 months from receipt of a late remedial savings statement. So that would be very useful for GPs. Now, if you did want the scheme to pay for any new charges, then again, we've got some important deadlines there. So there's something called mandatory scheme pays, which is where you sort of share responsibility with the scheme administrator for settling the bill. And the mandatory scheme pays deadline is the 6th of July 2025, if you were active or a deferred member on the 1st of October 2023. But again, if you're one of those pensioner members, then it's going to be 6th of July 2027. So there's a common theme here. If you're a pensioner, you add 2 years. If you weren't, you don't get the extra 2 years. Now, if you do miss that deadline, which we're surprised at how you would do this, but if you did miss this deadline, you can still use voluntary scheme pays. And there's no deadline on this one. But the one thing is that you would then not be jointly liable with the scheme, which could open you up to sort of additional charges or penalties for being generally late. And then the final deadline they've got is this compensation deadline, which again, for those active deferred members on the 1st of October, is the 31st of January 2029 or 2031 if you're a pensioner member. So looking at all of those different dates and deadlines, it could be that the final end of McLeod for all of this is going to be sort of 2031, with the exception of your final choice if you retire, of course, after 2031. So yeah, there's quite a lot of deadlines. I'm very nervous about that 31st of January 2025 deadline, because this is on top of 23-24 annual allowance returns, on top of 22-23 annual allowance, as well as ordinary self-assessment and everything else. And not forgetting contingent decisions, because you could make a decision that gives you new service back in that remedy period, which then has to be accounted for. We're still waiting for the details of that, but given that it's getting later and later, I'm wondering whether a contingent decision will trigger a new remedial service statement and then give you another 3 months later on. We've also asked the question about amendments to HMRC, because there's nothing in the regs that have said anything about amendments. At the moment, if you submit, for example, your self-assessment return and put in an annual allowance charge, and then something else comes to light later on, you've got 4 years in which you can amend that. And we can anticipate the same type of thing happening here. Something extra will come to light that you might then need to account for. Will they get the opportunity to make the amendment? So we've also put those questions to HMRC to see if we can get some more information back. But yeah, lots of deadlines and more information is coming out from HMRC as we go along.
And so presumably everything else, or all of this information, although it might not be that easy to digest, is all available on the NHS Pensions website?
Yeah, the NHS BSA website's a pretty good one. They've got their own sort of McLeod section now. If you want to get really geeky, you can Google HMRC Pension Schemes newsletter. And that's the newsletter that goes out to the pension schemes. And that then has the breakdown of everything that's going on as well. So you'll get to sort of updates on the public sector remedy and everything else.
You have been listening to RBP's Accountancy on Prescription podcast. For any updates, please visit www.rbp.co.uk or follow us on Twitter at RBPCA. The contents of this podcast is for general guidance and informational purposes only and does not constitute any form of advice. The information provided by RBP is of a general nature. Appropriate and tailored advice or independent research should be obtained before making any decisions. RBP does not accept any liability for any loss or damage which is incurred from you acting or not acting as a result of listening to Accountancy on Prescription.